Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. What do we do when we are faced with the impossible? You know, those situations and those circumstances that are implausible or are insurmountable or even unfeasible, that we're like, well, there's no solution in sight. What do we do when we're faced with the impossible? Impossible. That's a word that sometimes gets thrown around so often that it kind of dilutes its meaning, right? I mean, if you are a sports fan and you watch games, you listen to commentators, you hear commentators use that word all the time, that he made an impossible catch, or she made an impossible shot, or the gymnast contorted their body in such a way that they landed an impossible dismount. I mean, you hear it all the time, and it sort of dilutes the meaning of the word. And by the very fact that they did this, doesn't that make it possible? So that's not the kind of impossible we're talking about this morning. Nor are we talking about the kind of impossible that defies the laws of nature or science. So we're not talking about impossible that, you know, we try to start a fire with water and not matches. Or we try to drink a cup of water with a chopstick rather than a straw. So that's not the kind of impossible we're talking about. Rather, the kind of impossible we're talking about this morning that's going to be on our minds has to do with those situations that we face that leave us reeling. Maybe even staggering. Those situations that leave us confused or disoriented. We're kind of groping and trying to figure out the way forward or some way out. Those circumstances that seem impossible to navigate, impossible to accomplish, impossible to get through. Do you know those kinds of situations? It's like when you are in the doctor's office and the test results come back and confirm your worst fears. And you think, this is an impossible situation. Or when you have enormous decisions to make about your future, and every time you ask a question, it seems to come back unanswered. And you're like, it's impossible to know which way to go. Or when we're living paycheck to paycheck, and that cash flow does not account for the emergency room visit, or the car repair, or the wash machine that thinks it needs to wash the floor and not the clothes. Or for perhaps for parents, right? If we say, this is impossible. If I have to go one more day living through the terrible twos, or the terrifying threes, or the frightening fours, and let's not forget about the set me over the edge 17s, if I have to go one more day, it's impossible. I'm going to pull my hair out. Yes, impossible. Situations like those. And more, right? The addiction we can't break. The relationship we feel trapped in. The sudden job loss in our single income home. Those things where the only thing we know is that we don't know. Those moments, that impossible. What do we do when faced with the impossible? Listen with me to our first scripture passage. Hebrews 11 verse 30 says this: by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Though they are not facing a serious illness or unruly kids or insufficient income or addiction. The people of Israel have an impossible situation on their hands. They have finally set their foot in the land that God had promised to their ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. But one rather significant problem stands in their way. Jericho. You don't get far into the promised land unless you get past Jericho. And you don't get past Jericho unless you get past its wall. And we're not talking some ordinary wall. We're not talking about a white picket fence or a black chain link fence. We're not talking about the plaster wall or the drywall that's in our homes. We're not talking about a decorative landscape retaining wall. We're talking about a wall that is made out of pure stone, and it stood 25 feet high. So from the floor of the worship center, this gray beam up here that's a lighter color, that's about 20 feet. So you got to go another 5 feet up. A better reference would be if you look at the windows to your right or to your left, the kind of the cross part of the windows that goes east-west, that's about 25 feet high. 25 feet high, and it was 20 feet wide. So that's about as far as I am right now, maybe to Jay and Liz, to Micah back there, about four rows deep, about 20 feet. And so if you can picture from the very front of the stage here all the way to the middle of those windows, that whole section is the wall of Jericho. And some believe that there wasn't just one wall, but as this picture is going to show, that there were two walls that were there, an upper wall and a lower wall. You don't get past Jericho unless you get past its wall. And you don't get far into the promised land unless you get through Jericho. The people of Israel have an impossible situation on their hands. What do you do when faced with the impossible? Listen with me to what the people of Israel do. Scripture passage from Joshua, starting in chapter 5, verse 13. Listen with me to these words from the book that we love. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied. "But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up every person straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the people, "Advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the people, "Do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord, blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp.
They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except on that day they circled the city 7 times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpets sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every person charged straight in, and they took the city. Amen. What do we do when faced with the impossible? Well, we see an example here. The Lord shows up to Joshua one night and delivers great news. He says, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with the king and its fighting men." And I'm guessing Joshua heard that good news, and he's like, "Yes, that's great. Let's do this. I'll rally the troops. We'll sharpen the swords. We'll get the cannonballs ready, and we'll attack that wall, and we will tear it down." But that's not the plan that the Lord had. Instead of pulling on their army boots, the Lord had said, "Put on your walking shoes." Instead of sharpening your swords, the Lord said, "Tune the trumpets." Instead of getting your fight on, the Lord said, "Get your faith on." And so what was one impossible situation now seems to be two impossible situations. You have the wall of Jericho and the manner by which to bring that wall down. I mean, I'm not the only one here this morning, am I, that thinks the manner in which the Lord tells the Israelites to tear down that wall is a little impossible, yes? I mean, marching and trumpeting and shouting can knock down that impressive wall of Jericho? Now, to prove how impossible this is, I have a little illustration for us. You may be able to see this morning that I have built my very own. I did this yesterday morning, thankfully, but I built my own wall of Jericho, and I'd like to play out a little bit the instructions that the Lord gives to the people. So I'm going to need a few volunteers to help me. I need two people to start off. Who would like to help me out with this? Clayton and Michaela, all right, come on up here. I'm going to have you come here. And now I need two other people as well. Who's going to help? Michael, you want to help? Who else wants to help? Judah, you want to help? All right, come on up. And then, yeah, let's do two more. Two more people. Levi, come on and help. And Hayden, come on up here. All right, very, very good. Okay, Suze, I have one question. When you move the pulpit, are there still knives up there? Can you check that for me? Thank you. Okay, all right. Michaela and Clayton, you guys were first to volunteer. I need you to come over here. You guys are going to be our armed guard. Hold on right here. You're our armed guard, and I'm going to arm you with swords, okay? Here's the swords. Oh, yeah, very sharp. All right, take those swords very carefully. Very carefully. Michaela, it said at the beginning was the armed guard, so I'm going to have you stand on that far side of the wall, facing kind of the baptism font there, facing the cross. Clayton, you're going to stay right here because we had a rear guard as well, okay? All right, Judah and Micah, you guys are next. I need you guys to go grab, can you grab the Bible over there? That big Bible that's on the community table, that's going to be our Ark of the Covenant. You can close it. Yeah, you can leave it open like that. That's great. Yep, I'm going to have you carry it like that. Very good. And Levi and Hayden, I'm going to leave you over here. Actually, yeah, if you could grab that for me, that'd be great. That would help me out. You can grab that. Bring that to me in a minute. I'm going to have you guys line up behind Michaela, Judah, and Micah. Line up behind, leave a little space. You can give that to me. Thank you so much. All right, I'm going to get out of the way here just a little bit. Levi and Hayden, I need you right here. You're going to represent the people, okay? So you're going to be right here.
And you're going to face that way. You're behind Micah and Judah, and then the rear guard is after there. There we go. Okay, we have our people of Israel. Now, the one thing I didn't say yet, what I have this here, is I was going to be the priest. I was going to march with them. That's not going to happen, be able to happen today. But I'm going to be the priest, and there are some priests, it says, that blew the trumpets. And I have the trumpet here. This is called the shofar, and it is an Old Testament trumpet. So when you read a trumpet in the Old Testament, think of this. This is a ram's horn, okay? And I'm going to try to blow, I was going to blow this as we walked around. I'll just do it from here. It worked really well yesterday. It's kind of hard to do. We'll see how it goes, okay? So, face Michaela. All right, Michaela, you're going to lead us around our wall. It says in this passage, the very first day, they marched around one time. And so I'm going to actually shut my mic off here in a minute because I don't know how this is going to come through. You guys will hear it. Don't worry. And so, Michaela, I'm going to have you lead us one time around the city wall, okay? Can you do that with the armed guard, the priest blowing the trumpet, the Ark of the Covenant, the people, and then the rear guard defending us from behind? Very good. All right, Michaela, go ahead. Nothing happened. Well, it says that on the first day, they marched around the city wall. You know what they did? They went back to camp. But then they came back the second day, and they did the very same thing. All right, so march around that wall one more time on the second day. What happened to our wall the second day? Still standing. All right. Now, they did this on the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, and the sixth day. They marched around one time. They got to the seventh day. And on the seventh day, it says they marched around seven times. However, we're going to pretend we've already done it six times because they did it the same way. However, on that seventh time, something else happened. Maybe this is what we're missing. The seventh time on the seventh day, the people shouted, Levi and Hayden. The people shouted. Now, don't leave Levi and Hayden hanging, okay? I need all of you who are here, and you at home, if you want to shout as well, please do, but I need all of you to pretend that you are cheering for your favorite team, your favorite high school, college, pro team, or whatever. Shout, and maybe that will do the trick this time when we march around the wall, okay? Are you ready, Michaela? Did we do more than one time? That's okay. That's okay. So that seventh time, they marched around again. This time the people shouted, and what happened to our wall? Nothing. Nothing happened to our wall, did it? Right? I'm telling you, impossible. Right? Impossible to march and to trumpet and to shout is going to knock down. Now, this is not even a 25 by 20 foot wall, is it? All right. You guys did an awesome job. You guys can bring all the stuff back and have a seat. Can you thank them for helping me out this morning? Levi, can I have you put this back for me? Thank you very much. Thank you for being careful. Thank you. Thanks, Hayden. So what do we do? What do we do when we're faced with the impossible? Right? Because marching and trumpeting and shouting is an impossible way to knock down a wall. We just saw that here. Well, let's listen again to the words of Hebrews 11, verse 30. It says this, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Those first words say, by faith. What do we do when we're faced with the impossible? We have faith. We have faith in what God says. We have faith
in what God tells us to do. We have faith. And not just faith, though. See, here's the thing with this passage. It's not just about having faith, but it's about having faith and having a faith that takes action. Listen again to Hebrews 11, verse 30. It says this, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people marched around them for 7 days." Joshua and the priests and the people of Israel have faith in the Lord that spurred obedient action. Notice something with me in this Joshua passage. You have your Bibles open yet? Look at Joshua chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord here is finishing explaining all this seemingly impossible game plan, marching and trumpeting and shouting, and then move to verse 6. "So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them," and what do you notice here? What do you see between verse 5 and verse 6? There's a paragraph break in my Bible, but what do you notice? Anything else? Nothing? Exactly. See, sometimes it's just as important to notice what the Bible doesn't say. It doesn't say that Joshua went back home that night and sat down and tried to figure out, is this a strategically sound plan that the Lord had given to him? It does not say that Joshua thought, is the Lord trying to pull a fast one on me? Is it April Fool's Day? It does not say that Joshua went home and prepared this persuasive speech of how am I going to convince these priests of this crazy plan the Lord gave me. It doesn't say any of that. Joshua hears the plan from the Lord and then he immediately shares the plan from the Lord. Joshua has a faith in God and he right away puts that faith into action by telling the priests. And it's not just Joshua who does this. It's the priests who show this kind of faith in action as well. In chapter 6, verse 8, if you look there, it says, "When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests," and then it says, "they immediately go and do what they are told to do. They march with the Ark of the Covenant. They march and blow the trumpets. They have people in the front and people in the back guarding them. They don't waste time questioning it. They are given instructions, and at once they obey." And it's not just Joshua, it's not just the priest, but it's the people of Israel as well. I love this part of this passage, right? These people listen to Joshua's instructions. He tells them, he commands them, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until I give you the signal. And they obey. They are silent until they're instructed to shout. Odd as this plan may be, the people of Israel take action, and it's this action that arises, it's this obedience that arises from their faith in God. And when they have that faith in action, Clayton, Michaela, I'm going to need your help here. Come on up. When they put that faith into action, it says the walls come crumbling down. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, the people gave a loud shout, and the wall collapsed. They begged me to do that. The impossible happened. The impossible game plan achieved impossible results. So what do we do when we're faced with the impossible? When all reasonable and measurements and all the data and analytics tell us the situation's dire, the chances are slim, the odds are not ever going to be in your favor. I mean, the easy answer is, well, we're going to have faith. Right? Trust God. Believe God. And you know what? It's the easy answer, but it is the right answer. But it's not the complete answer here. It's not the complete answer we find with Joshua and the priests and the people of Israel. Because yes, we have faith. We must have faith. We have to put our hope in a God and a belief in a God for whom nothing is impossible. Yet the witness of Joshua and the priests and of the people of Israel here isn't just faith, but it's faith in action. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people marched around them for 7 days. Faith in the impossible. Friends, we are people of the impossible. It dawns on me this morning that believing in the impossible and being obedient to what seems like it's impossible is a far more frequent reality for us than we often realize. We believe in the impossible. We believe that there's a carpenter from Galilee who is the Son of God, the perfect Lamb of God who died on a cross for the sin of the whole world. And what is more, after lying dead in the tomb for 3 days, he rose again. Resurrection. We are people of the impossible. We believe that 12 uneducated fishermen and tax collectors and other maligned individuals took that message of salvation and reached the ends of the earth, and the world was forever changed. We are people of the impossible. We believe that a murderous Roman citizen Pharisee with church destruction sown deeply in his heart could become the most prolific church missionary and church writer and church theologian. We believe in this Apostle Paul who helped craft the foundation of our faith. We are people of the impossible. Let's make that a little more current for us, right? Think about it with me. Each time we gather as a church family together, we who are different from one another, we who have different opinions on every topic underneath the sun, we who have different and strongly held beliefs and strongly held preferences on all the things, and yet we come together every Sunday morning, and with one heart and with one voice, we together worship our one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are people of the impossible. And through us, God continues to do the impossible. Through us, God continues to do redemptive work. Through each one of us. Through a farm kid from Northwest Iowa. Through an insurance underwriter. Through a stay-at-home parent. Through a medical doctor. Through a teacher. Through a public works employee, a small business owner, a graphic designer, a student, a retired banker, a missionary living on the other side of the world, a store manager, an HR rep, a pharmaceutical salesman, a Discovery Hour teacher, a youth group leader, a social worker, an IT tech, a project manager, and each and every single one of us here this morning. Through you and through me, God is doing the impossible. He's calling us and he's empowering each one of us to witness the good news of Jesus Christ and to seek kingdom transformation in this world, each one of us in our lives, in our places, in our realms of influence. And friends, when we are obedient to that call, when our faith in God leads us to be obedient to God, the impossible happens. Every single day, walls come down, hearts are softened, lives are transformed, communities are changed, and the whole world is filled with the glorious good news of Jesus Christ. We are people of the impossible. Friends, faith in action through the power and through the work of God makes the impossible possible. This is the faith witness of Jericho's walls that came crumbling down. Amen. Please pray with me. God, your word tells us so clearly that nothing is impossible with you. And we are all too familiar that in this life of ours, there are situations and circumstances aplenty where things seem impossible. And so in those moments and in those times and in those hard places, would you remind us again of the power of your name? Would you remind us again of your constant and abiding presence with us? Would you remind us again of your unconditional love and grace that overflows in our lives every single moment of every single day? Remind us again that you are faithful and that we then can put our faith and our trust in you. And not only that, but that we can respond in obedience whenever and wherever and however you call us. Lord, would you hear our prayer this morning for each and every person that's here today? And whatever it is that we are facing that for us in this moment seems impossible, Many, if not most of us, are facing something that is all too real, all too hard. And for some of us, this has been a long time, and for others of us, it's new. Whatever it is and however it's affecting us, we pray, God, that you would work and you would intervene. And whatever is impossible in this moment, God, that you would make possible. God, we pray this morning for the health and well-being of Susan's friend, Hilda. We pray for safety and protection for Vladi and his family, and for peace upon Harlan and Claire's hearts as they pray from afar. We pray for those who are grieving this day, the loss of loved ones or friends. Lord, would you also hear our prayers for the middle schoolers and the chaperones at Power Connection? God, would you be moving in powerful and mighty ways in the lives of each, drawing them closer in relationship to you? God, we thank you and we praise you this morning for your faithfulness over the last year of transition and for the steps forward with our staff. We're so grateful for those who have served and those who are serving and those who will step into new leadership roles over the next few weeks. We pray that you would continue and you would mold us together as a team as we desire to serve you and the people of Westview and this community that we so love. And most of all, God, we are grateful. We're so grateful for the impossible good news that even today that tomb is still empty, that a dead carpenter from Galilee is risen from the dead. Sin has been paid for. Life has been secure. Hope is forever ours. We are grateful to you, our Lord and our God. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.